What's up, everybody? It's your man, Danelle, a.k.a. Small Guy Promotions, a.k.a. Omaha Fatty, coming to you with another podcast episode of What's Up, Omaha.
Today, I have a first-time guest, a wonderful guest for you all to meet. You might know her on Twitter as Jen Joy. We've got Jen Bauer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm so well. I'm so well. Loving that nice weather outside.
Well, vitamin D. Vitamin D, fresh air. Never hurt anybody.
Yes, especially after, you know, last week and whatnot. So Jen, you know, I had asked you to be on just because you got a lot of things going on in your life. You're a busy lady, a community focused woman. Through the years that I've known you, you've always been out doing different things in the community. You've come out to my events to support my events. You know, I know you're down in the Exarban area doing stuff all the time. Maybe not so much in the last year, but there's a lot of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, it's been rough for all of us. I mean, you know, it's just and across from the table from you. Here we are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is definitely an adjustment phase for everyone. You know, you would think after a year, we would kind of be used to it, but there's still some things that don't quite feel right, you know. But at least we do have the technology. I know I said a long time ago, like when it first started, at least we are in a day and age where we have the technology that we have, because I couldn't imagine going through something like this 20 years ago with no you know, internet or social media. Well, I mean, there was internet, but not like it is now.
Any contact. I mean.
Yep.
Yeah. And see, 20 years ago was your day, you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't.
Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. Yep. And still just, I mean, you know, the advancements in technology have been crazy. So we have wonderful things like this, like Zoom and all this stuff where we can still kind of get that human interaction and connect. So I think back to the point that I started making was, you know, you're a really community focused person. And that's probably why we get along pretty well. but we met through Twitter through, you know, mm-hmm. And this was, I don't even know how many years it's been.
It's been at least five.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, then tweet meets were going on. And, it, you know, I don't even know how, when I got on Twitter, how I got into the circle of people who were, you know, talking, like you and Jessica and like the Joes and just all those guys and Jim. I don't know how I got into the circle of at all. Probably some, you know, just
I think honestly, it might have been Mean Streets.
Could have been, maybe.
I mean, I think at that point in time, I know for sure that I was living in an apartment further down the road and got bored one night and just like, I'll see what's happening. Thing I know, I'm looking at a tweet from a Mean Streets that somebody had retweeted.
Yeah.
And back then, it was all about the snark, right? I mean, it was kind of irreverent, you know, a lot different than it is now is what I mean.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just kind of started being, you know, interactive with that account. And I think that led to Joel and Joe and Joe and Jim, you know, down the road, which then led to Jessica, who does, you know, the majority of the tweet meet setup.
Yep.
I will never forget going into Cali Taco and, you know, meeting Joe and Becky Spadilla, okay, whose kids told them, be careful about meeting people you meet on the internet. I mean, you know, we are adults here and their children who were probably early 20s at the time were like, no, you got to be careful. It was funny.
Yep. See, and I remember my first tweet meet, you know, Mitzi always works Tuesday and Thursday evening. So if we're ever doing anything, it's just the girls and I. And we were at it was one of the places that closed. It was over there off of like 132nd and Maple, like Salt 88.
They had Salt 88, yeah. Salt 88. Yep. We had the back room.
Mm-hmm. That was the first time that I had gone out to one of those events. And as you said, the Spadillas were there. Those were people who some of the first people that I met there. And, Becky was commenting on the girls, like their glasses and stuff and or whatever. So, you know, with her being in the eyeglass, eye doctor field, your industry. So that was pretty great. And then they, we loved that place because they brought us cotton candy.
Well, I know. I seriously miss that place. One of the best places to do birthdays and happy hour. So it's a shame it's gone, but.
Yep. Well, and I credit, the Tweet Meet, like that kind of stuff with expanding my area in Omaha. I've always been like an east of 72nd kind of guy. And through stuff like that and learning about all these restaurants and everything that are out west, like I've grown. I've gone outside of my normal comfort zone.
Yeah, because like Paisans, we had a Tweet Meet out at Paisans years ago, and I would never, I'm in Midtown, right? I would never think to go to 156th and Center for pizza. But honey, let me tell you, I will drive out there for one of their calzones.
Oh, they're so huge.
Good.
We actually we went there after I think it was probably 2 years ago, a year and a half ago or something like that, after one of our events, and we met some friends there from out of town. Mm-hmm. And their son got one, and he's my daughter's age, so he's 14 now, so he would have been like 12. And they brought this calzone out, and it was just like so huge. I love Paisans.
And now they're and now they're doing pies from Newman Grove Cafe.
And how did that start, Jen?
I don't know. pandemic stories, such as they are. That's interesting. I decided I was going to take a road trip because I just couldn't stand to be cooped up anymore. And, I texted Don and Adam and said, I'm coming out, but what do you think about me getting some slices to bring back to a few select people? And Adam, well, what about delivering whole pies? Like, I don't think this is going to fly, but all right, check it out. And I mean, but I don't know if the story goes, he was sold out in 7 hours or something. It was insane. So, I went, picked up the pies, loaded up the station wagon, and brought them to the Target at 171st and Center or 80th and Center. And after that, I Matt from Paisans, his grandmother lives out in Newman Grove. So he's like, bring some pies back, and now it's just started as this regular, I don't know if it's weekly or I don't know, but I've gotten another peanut butter pie. I was going to share it with somebody, but I ate it all.
from the pictures and all the stuff that I see online, I could see why you would eat it all or how you could eat it all.
I'm not proud.
I still have not had one, and I said that we would go out there. Unfortunately, when we started our pizza tour that we're doing, it wasn't on a Friday. I think we did Paisans like probably second or third or somewhere in there. It was early on because we're on our last one was our 14th. So we're on our 15th week of our pizza tour. And they didn't have that on the Friday that we went out there. So I'm like, ugh. But I will get one of those pies, and if I have to take a little day trip out there to Newman Grove, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, it's a nice drive. Good people, great food. Get the Scotcheroo.
Yes, I. You know what? Scotcheroos. People love those. So I would definitely try those. I got to get out there. And I know they have a great social media presence with their Twitter account and Instagram and whatnot. So it's always cool to see the different specials that they have. And, you know, it's just one of those small towns that you're like, you know what, that's a really cool place.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's cute. And they've got this really cool salvage shop next to it. And old antiques and architectural pieces. They've got like 3 or 4 warehouses to pick through. I've got a stained glass window that I got out there. And I mean, if you like that stuff, which I have an old home, so I like that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good day trip.
Well, and you know, since we're talking about food and pizza and whatnot, I mean, you're right there by Tasty Pizza, which those are great. And I had them for the first time last year and we enjoyed it. And oh man, those, they're like personal sized pizzas and you can eat one of those and not feel bad.
Yeah.
Or two, you know.
No, not at all. Or, you know, buy two on a Saturday and have one on Saturday and one on Sunday when they're closed. I don't know. Some people say they do that. I wouldn't know.
I think smart people probably do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Get two different kinds, change it up. It's a good setup. Yeah. You know, when I first moved here, they would close for the month of August. Basically people in the neighborhood and then college students, mm-hmm. right? So the owner, she's from Costa Rica. So she would just go home for a month, you know, and literally like when I would want it the most, they would be closed.
Yeah.
But they've grown. They've got a second location at 60th and Leavenworth. 60th and Woolworth. And right there by Jonesy's Tacos and Tracks. I mean, there's some really good food in this area, let me tell you.
Yes, there is.
J. Coco.
That's a place we want to go.
Another pizza place. I get it all confused. Yeah, and then you get down on Leavenworth and you've got Picasa and Barrett's. So I'm not exactly the Omaha fatty, but I really like supporting my local restaurants. It's really very important to me.
Yeah. And what is it about the local restaurants or supporting the local restaurants that's appealing to you? How did you get into that?
I like local neat things, right? I'm not a big fan. I don't have a problem with chains. I don't want to say that, but you know, it takes a lot to put your life into a restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. It's your hard-earned money. It's your reputation. It's everything. And so in my mind, it's better to support the small guy, you know, because not everybody sees that same, you know, they don't see it the same way.
Yeah.
So especially during the pandemic. So, right, the African girl up in the shops of Exarban, she literally opened the day the shutdowns went into effect. And what do? I mean, this woman puts everything out there on the line and then boom. Plus, it's like African Chipotle. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And people are like, I don't get this. And honestly, any restaurant that has plantains has my business, period, right? So is just going to ruin, you know, I mean, Omaha has some of the best restaurants. I mean, how many times have we been on Triple D on the Food Network, you know? And some of those places aren't here anymore. Some of them have moved. So, you know, at the beginning of the shutdown, I just thought I don't have the largest social media footprint like somebody does, but I thought, you know, I'm just going to start promoting local. And then that started, you know, promoting local craftsmen, local candle makers, local somebody putting their heart and soul into it is something I can get behind.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important. I mean, it brings flavor to the community, you know?
Yep. And I share kind of the same standpoint on that. as you do when, I mean, of course, I've always, you know, for however many years enjoyed supporting local. And that's why I started doing what I do in the first place. But really during the pandemic, and maybe it's more, I don't have a lot of vices. Like I don't shop or anything like that. So food is like the thing that I spend money on. So when the pandemic started, yeah. I just said, hey, you know, and at the time I was actually working like a ton of overtime and they were paying us like double time for overtime. So we weren't really hurting at the time. So I said, well, we have all this extra money. Let's try to help these mom and pops that are, you know, maybe struggling a little bit. And let's just put that money to good use. So I was working these hours and I just said, you know what? If we're going out to a place and let me tell you, Jen, like I'm cheap. I don't like to spend money. I don't like to spend money. Like my wife, she is the reason that I tip. When we started dating, like in, so what am I? I'm 39. So, so when we met, you know, it was 16, 17 years ago and I was younger and I wasn't a big tipper. That wasn't like really a thing, but she is in the service industry and we would talk about people tipping her or when we would go out to eat and she would tip. So she is the one who got me into tipping because I'm like, oh, you know what? You're right. We should tip. So I tip now. But from going to not wanting to spend money to like, hey, you know what? I don't care. We can drop $100 here, you know, $80 here, you know, to feed the family, whatever. You know, we're spending $300 a weekend to eat because we're going out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to try to support and help those places. So at that time, I was just like, you know what, man, this is totally worth it. If it makes the difference, and especially if, like you said, you know, not maybe you don't have the biggest, you know, footprint on social media, but you never know who will see a picture of a post that you make. So, and that's how it started with, I think that's exactly how Omaha Fatty started to be, you know. I was just taking pictures years ago of everywhere that I was going. And then I somehow came up with this thought to be the Omaha Fatty. And I just kind of put it in the overdrive now. So it's
you got to be true to yourself.
Yes.
Be true to yourself. No?
Yes. But yeah, totally on board with you.
You were big on your Google reviews as well too, weren't you? I mean,
yep. That's how it started. So through Small Guy Promotions, again, we're not just specific to food, but I was just taking pictures wherever I was going and doing reviews. And then my partner reached out to me through Facebook. That's how we knew each other. And he's a web design guy. And he had the thought himself of doing something like this, but he's got a younger kid at home, like 2 or something like that. And maybe a little older, but he doesn't have time to go out and eat. So he reached out to me and said, hey, I like what you're doing. I see your reviews. And every time I read a review, I want to go out and eat. And he just approached me about how could we make this something tangible? So we did that. Yeah, and it's from the Google reviews. So I never thought about being able to, I don't know, have such a big impact. But it's pretty great when people come up to you and tell you that they tried a place because of your post or your video or review or whatever it was. So I just want to help. And being around people like you who are community minded, know, I think it just helps because we all talk and share amongst each other, you know, places that we're going. And we may not go to all the same places, but even if I watch you and you go to one place and I start to go there and I like it, we made a difference.
Right. And every restaurant's not for everybody. I went to Broncos the other day and you're not a Broncos fan,
nope.
You know, all good, but you tried it. And that's the point is you tried it. You know, there's a cheeseburger place up in Blackstone. It's called Cheeseburgers and it's super easy curbside pickup or walk in and pick it up. I think they might have 2 or 3 tables. So they're not really set up for in-house. And I just posted a picture and my girlfriends were like, you know, in the area, we're like, what? Really just tried it for the first time, you know, because you can't do things with people, you know. It's not like I can go pick up my girls and go, you know, let's go get a burger.
Yeah.
You
know?
A lot of that, but you know, it's important to me that the community stays vibrant. It's important to me that people in the community stay connected. And I mean, I know everybody can see my little sign behind me, and yes, I am running for Omaha City Council. Who I am, right? At the beginning of the pandemic, one of the neighborhood groups called One Omaha tried to have me help get them started with an app to assist people. Because, you know, at the beginning, it was our elderly and those who couldn't, you know, couldn't go, the at-risk folks that needed the help the most, you know? And then it, you know, we got them settled, and, you know, then it became people who lost their jobs, you know, people who couldn't leave because now they have health or, you know, daycare issues or, you know, what have you. I mean, there's been some great stories of triumph in the community, but there's been some really sad stories as well.
Yeah.
One of my neighbors started a pantry called the Exarban Little Pantry, and the amount of traffic through this little pantry, it started out as just one of those little take one, leave one type of things.
Yep.
You see in front of people's houses. And now she's done turkey boxes at Thanksgiving. She did Christmas boxes. She did pizzas from Tasty Pizza for Valentine's Day. You know, a $9 pizza to you and me is like huge to somebody else.
Yep.
So, you know, she just thought it'd be something little, and it is just blown up. And you know, and the thought is that eventually when we get back to normal, it won't be as needed, right? Yeah. That's the hope. But we just don't know.
Yep.
Are people, I just worry about people, you know.
Yeah.
That's me.
Well, and the thing, like you said, we don't know that not knowing, or that like there's no definitive answer of like how things are going to end, or like not even like an expected time where something is going to change. So you just don't know. And you know, a lot of the talk has been about checking on people and like mental health during this time, because people are so just, and not by choice, but withdrawn and not maybe around people. Maybe everybody doesn't have, you know, a family at their house. Like, you know, like you said, you can't just pick up your girls and go have a burger. So, and there's not that life has just stopped. There's still other things that are going on, like you touched on. And maybe it's not just like a needy thing, but life is still happening, and people, whether it's COVID related or not, people are getting sick and, you know, passing away for different reasons. So, I mean, that's just like a huge deal. It's a huge deal in normal times, but now it's like even crazier where people can't, you know, maybe go to a funeral and pay their respects or say goodbye to someone, or just, there's just so many different factors and levels of all the stuff that's going on.
Yep. But then there's some triumph too. I mean, there's some triumph, new restaurants opening, you know, people have started new jobs, people have gotten promotions, people have had babies. I mean, now we're looking at the COVID baby boom, right? I'm not in this house. Just so I mean, I have a coworker who, both of her nephews who are in their mid-20s, they both, you know, just recently had babies. We have friends that are pregnant that, you know, are due in April. That's a COVID baby. That's a lockdown baby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about like the winter time, like usually after the winter, that's when, you know, I'm a September baby. So, You know, after the winter, it's like, you're just cooped up in the house all the time now. So
exactly. All the time. I'm an October baby. So I, you know, I was like, what was going on in February of 19, whatever that was.
Well, I would tell you that my mother and father, their anniversary is New Year's Eve. Yeah, and my birthday is September 29th.
Uh-huh, yeah. I can do the math.
Yeah, yeah, so But yeah, like you said, there are some you know, some positives to pull from it. And one of the things, not necessarily a community thing, but it could be, I guess, just in the business world, there being new possibilities with work environment and people being able to work from home. So companies now are saying you don't have to live in the same city or the same state. And I know when the pandemic first started, they were talking about big cities like New York and how people didn't want to be around people. So they were selling their homes and moving outside of town to smaller places. And, you know, working from home is like a thing now that people would not have thought of. I mean, there were some companies doing it before where you would have the option, but now more companies are finding out that they can actually employ people who don't need to come to the office every day. And it's actually a little more cost effective because you don't have to pay for all those utilities for an order.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I do feel that we're going to see a little bit of a run on the real estate, the commercial real estate market. You know, I think it's going to be hit pretty hard when this all susses out, you know. But like for me, I used to work at home 2 days a week, Mondays and Fridays. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I get up, get in my car, you know. And now I don't have that. And I will tell you, there's a lot of adjustment. And you're the same way. I mean, adjustment that people have to go through, you know. Do you shower? Do you not shower? Do you put real clothes on?
Yep.
No, you can only live in a bra, in a hoodie and sweatpants for so long. I have to admit, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, I just want to put real clothes on, you know, a sweater, a dress. I haven't had a dress on in forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get there. Weather's going to break. Things are going to be better. Right now, we're still got to do our part. You know, it's all good. But transition jobs in January. I got a promotion. So my boss is in the UK. Thank you. Thank you. My boss is in the UK. It's a whole new reporting structure. And he's like, don't expect to go into the office. There's really no need. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know, it's an office building of 400 people. They'll need my space to, if you still have to do social distancing, right? They'll need my space because I'm not part of the group here, but
right.
You know, living paycheck to paycheck at my company, just because of the type of job it is, right?
Yeah.
And because they don't have to drive and because they're not going out to eat at lunch, they're saving money as well. So the downside of that is the connection. You know, mm-hmm. Our company doesn't really use this sort of technology. We have it,
yeah.
But it's always just been, you know, we're just on these meetings. We don't do video. And now every once in a while, you're like, you got to warn me because I got a shower and, you know,
yeah.
And a bed head.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, we're getting to that connection. And the one thing I have learned is that companies are doing really good on their communication skills, right? So just like I've been trying to do with the Neighborhood Association, oh, which by the way, I'm president of the Exarban Elmwood Park Neighborhood Association. Mm-hmm. I try to communicate, you know, and in rare instances, you got to over communicate.
Right.
And, you know, I know people don't like I want to mess with technology, but at this point we're seeing a, you know, an uptick of the use of Zoom mm-hmm. and social media. So, I've totally lost my train of thought. Yeah. But, my company has town halls now with like CEOs and CFOs. And we never did that before. We did it in the IT group. Mm-hmm. But, you know, corporate HR, we didn't hear from those people, you
right.
know, and now every quarter they're, you know, taking our questions. And I've heard of a lot of companies doing this. And I just hope it continues past yeah. the COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the actual, you know, when you know what you're getting, it's like, okay, it wasn't just like we were reacting to the situation. Like we really want to make this change and like we really believe in this.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm gonna have to work on is continuing to communicate with the neighborhood you know, people in the neighborhood, and we've gotten new members, and we've gotten people to say, well, could you provide, you know, services within the county, or where do we go get COVID tested? Or, you know, I need a job. Where can I look? Or what's the bus schedule? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I have a bus stop out in front of my house. That was one of the coolest things I learned. I'm like, I don't even know what the bus routes are or how much it costs to ride a bus.
Yeah.
But somebody said, hey, could you do this? And it's like, all right, I'll do it.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought up being the president of the organization, because I wanted to ask you how it's, of course, changed since the pandemic has started. But how can people who want to get out and be involved in things, like with it being so different than it used to be, what are some things that you are doing or that you see people doing to be able to get out in the community and help, aside from eating everywhere?
Yeah. Well, excuse me, there are groups out there through the city, for one. If you live in anywhere in Omaha, I mean, north, south, east, west, whichever. If you go to the, and there are over 108 accredited, for lack of better words, neighborhood associations in Omaha. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they're not homeowner associations, right? These are just ways to disseminate information from the city. That's what their intent was to be. Right. So like if somebody comes in and wants to tear down the house next to you, they have to go get a zoning ordinance or what have you. You're going to find out about that information through the neighborhood association. So there's also, which are like my alliance is the Midtown Neighborhood Alliance.
Okay.
And the Southwest Omaha Neighborhood Alliance. So they're like overarching. And they do bigger things, right? They do grant money and beautification, and there's some scholarship stuff. And they're always looking for volunteers, right? And your time is basically maybe 2 hours a month, maybe. So the Neighborhood Association has meetings every other month, and just about every other neighborhood association that I know of does the same. So, you know, we used to meet down at a church. Now we're meeting on Zoom. Then you have business alliances. You have the Old Market Business Alliance, which, you know, they're there to, again, get information out from the city to their business owners.
Right.
But all that's on the mayor's page, right? So you can go there, find your leader, send them an email, text, you know, what have you. A lot of these do, like I said, beautification, park cleanups. Dundee does the Dundee Days, and they do their flower pots that you see if you look on a, they have beautiful flower pots in the summer. Mm-hmm. They put those together. There's ways. There's also One Omaha, which is I believe affiliated with one of the larger philanthropists in town. I'm not quite sure which one. Okay. And they do more service-oriented work and geared towards the neighborhood associations, right? But other than that, it is difficult, you know? It's almost like getting the vote out, right?
Yeah.
How do you get people to sign up to vote? Well, usually it's a face-to-face thing, you know? How do you get people to do the census? You go to their door. We're in the same boat. So, you know, we're always looking for volunteers. And like I said, it's maybe 1 to 2 hours a week or a month. Sorry, 1 to 2 hours a month, which is a big deal. You know, we look for people to be a secretary, to take the meetings, minute meetings. But we've done other things too. You know, we've raised money for right, so that they could ride the trails in our area, because the bicycles that the police had were mainly used down at TD Ameritrade Park.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Market. So we said, you know, this area has a lot of the Keystone Trail. We want bikes. So we raised some money. We facilitated the neighbors getting the traffic circle at 63rd and Shirley. So we had a meet with the city planning department and the engineer. So it's not just let's go clean up a park or, you know, plant some flowers. There's other things as well. There's murals. And this year, the mayor's grant is specific. We need to aim our activities specifically towards helping the community that's impacted by COVID. Okay. So whether it's a school, you know, like we have an elementary school, we have a couple here in the neighborhood, you know, do they need masks? Do they need wipes? You know, that. So and they can hit me up, you know, I'm on Twitter at Jen Joy.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I feel like you have a lot of, I don't know. I don't see myself as, I mean, yes, a community person, but I feel like you're more of an activist. Like you're out changing things. Like you're actually, not that what I do is not making a difference on some level, but yours is more. It froze a little bit. Sorry. What'd you say?
No, it's okay. It's just different. You know, you do your, like when you had your events at Hopescape, right? Which I didn't know anything about Hopescape. And now I know about the Hope Center for Kids.
Yep.
And now I donate, you know. So we're each doing our own in a different way.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Well, it's funny that you say that because the whole concept behind my What's Up Omaha design is kind of like a superhero with the city on your back, but it's not just like me being the superhero. It's to say that we all, by playing our part, we all can be superheroes. Yeah. Like, and I can remember always when I would talk to like the kids for the Hobie, Nebraska, you know, one of the first times that I met with them, I said it, you don't need $1 million to make a difference. You know, and it doesn't even have to be like a financial contribution to whatever cause to make a difference. All you have to do is do something positive for someone else. And, you know, I talk about it being the ripple effect. And you don't know how many people that goes out to after those initial ripples. You know, you can't see them anymore. They're still out there in the water and creating energy. And that's all it is. It's energy. So if we can keep putting positive energy out there, we don't know how it can transform and what it'll do. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that's especially important now, you know, when, you know, is something to somebody. You know, I mean, like with the snow, you know, every time it snows, I run out there and I get my snowblower and I just go up the street and down one side, the other. And one of the neighbors said, you know, you don't have to do that. I said, but I want to, you know, and they're like, well, thank you. Cause last Sunday's snow was just like super heavy, you know? Yeah. But it is, you're right. I love that analogy, the ripples on the water just going forever. That's awesome.
Yep. Yep. And that's kind of what I try to do. And I say, for me, it was a thing of where I still complain about stuff, but I used to I feel like I've grown a lot and stopped complaining about a lot of things that I used to complain about. But I can just remember always like being annoyed by stuff. And granted, I still am, especially if you ask Mitzi and the kids, there's still a bunch of stuff that I complain about. But as far as community and saying how, like, I don't know if you know this, but I used to say that I didn't want to have kids because the world is such a horrible place.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, well, okay, I have kids now and whatnot. Like, what can I do? How can I, instead of just sitting back and complaining about how bad the world is, what can I do to make some positive impact? So that's how it all started for me. Right. I mean, there's many different factors, but it was that and my, you know, losing my dad and just all these things came around the same time, and they just kind of helped each other around that time, and just it turned into Small Guy and whatnot. So,
well, I'm happy to know you, D.
Happy to know you as well. Thank you.
No, I just adore you and your wife, and and the kids, and you know, you're doing good things with your daughters too, you know.
Trying. I
mean, your little your oldest is doing her jewelry and or you know.
Yep.
Entrepreneurs make the world.
Hey, you know, and it's funny, when I posted that she got her pages up for her jewelry, it just made me think about how she initially started at the events. And it was a thing where I had done a couple and she had this jewelry making kit. And she came and asked like a week before the event was scheduled. And she said, can I sell jewelry at your event? And I go, I don't know if you have the right kind of, you know, stuff to make jewelry that people will want to buy.
Yeah.
And I said, but I tell you what, if, you know, you can participate, but we have to go through and do some quality checks on your on the stuff that you want. And I'll never forget, she had like a couple of pieces that were with like tape and notebook paper and those little pipe cleaners and stuff. And I was like, I think there was only two or three things that I was like, you can't sell this. But that made such a big impact with her. My cousin's wife bought a few pieces and she made $7.50 that day. And she was like so excited about it. Mm-hmm. From then on, she's been, over the years, she's been going through and just continuing to learn and grow in the stuff that she's being able to create. Like she just started doing the resin pieces recently because she was watching some videos. So she's like, I didn't even know how she learned how to do it. So I asked her and she's like, you know how you're on Snapchat and then like an ad rolls through? Well, I saw one and I clicked on it and then I just watch them every day. So she's just adding to her repertoire of things that she can do. And she's got, you know, metal pieces that she does and she asked for, I don't even know if she asked, but she wanted to get this like legit jewelry making kit with like this little hammer where you can, it's got the letters on the end of the little, I don't even know what you call it. It's like a little pillar, but you pound it and then the letter gets indented in the piece. So she's got that. She's got all this stuff. And she just, I couldn't be more proud of what she is doing. And so just to think that I had a part in that. But when I posted it, I told that story of, you know, who would have thought that she would come this far after just having a toy jewelry making set. And my friend Ryan, who does insurance, he goes, it'll be even greater when you one day realize that it wasn't the jewelry making set that sparked that.
It was you.
Yeah. So,
you know, so, yeah. there's a jewelry store out at like 100 and, well, I don't know where it is. It used to be 120th and Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Silver of Oz. And he does beginner jewelry making classes.
Ah, nice.
And you get to take a real gemstone home with you. And I've been trying to do it. But, you know.
Yeah.
Santa might want to hook her up.
I'll have to look into that. Because, yeah, she's definitely, you know, she's taking a liking to it and is serious about it. She's doing a pop-up here soon. So yeah, she's going to put her stuff in actually this weekend. I think I haven't heard, but Le Smash out in Bellevue, they're going to set up a little retail area in their Smash facility building. And we went out and met with her and she's like, yeah, if she wants to bring out like 40 pieces, she can do that. And then you'll get a contract and everything going. So, and I tell you, someone that I used to work with who I hadn't seen in I don't know how many years, they actually messaged her on the page after I made the post, and they bought 5 pieces from her. And they're not even in Omaha.
I saw that.
Yeah, they're in Illinois.
Yeah, I saw that. She had cute little dinosaur thingies, you know?
Yeah. So she sold out of those quick, too. But yeah, that's all it is, Jen. It's just trying to do my part. That's all, playing my role. So we all win.
Well, you know, anytime there's a kid in the neighborhood that's got a lemonade stand or, you know, I mean, we've had kids making jewelry with the little alphabet blocks and pipe cleaners, and I run up there, you know. Yep. I will go support a little kid any time of the day.
Yep.
You know.
And I wish more, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do, but if we could all realize that we were all young dreamers mm-hmm. at some point in our lives, and that it's important to, you know, support those kids and let them know that, hey, we're behind you. Whatever you decide to do, like, you've got support. Yeah. So, well, Jen, what else, you know, I don't want to take too much more of your time. What else would you like to tell everyone about all your community interactions and things that you're doing to help make the world a better place?
Oh, I don't really have anything else. I mean, honestly, the last year has just really taken, you know, taken its toll, and I haven't been as active as I want to be.
Yep.
I made the decision to run for city council, which it's Omaha City Council District 3, Jen Bauer. I said to myself, you know, regardless of the outcome of this election, which I, you know, I fully intend to win, but regardless of the outcome, I want people to know that I'm still an advocate for them. You know, I want them to know that they can come and ask me to go to city council, because one of my missions in getting to city council is to make it available to people mm-hmm. so that they feel heard, you know. Yep. I think that's the biggest thing. Well, 3-4 years that people just don't feel heard, you know. And I think, you know, that, you know, I will listen, you know. I don't care if you're a renter, a business owner, a landlord, a homeowner, you know, you are part of this community. And that's, I think, something that's been lost, you know, is that sense of community.
Yep.
So I'm going to try to make it accessible by moving the city council meetings to a good time where people can go, not 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Or
on the work day, yeah.
Yeah, in the middle of the work day. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, yeah, I just, you know, people have my phone number, my email, and even if the outcome isn't what I expect or want, I'm still going to make my voice heard at city council.
Yeah.
On things that are important to me and that affect my community.
Yeah. So. And if I was there, I would vote for you. So.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I have friends all over the country that are like, man, if I was just there, I'm like, oh. Still like my social media posts, you know?
Yep. Yep. And I try to, whenever I see them, I try to make sure to retweet or, you know, give it a like just to make sure that somebody sees. And I'm like, again, you never know who it might reach, you know.
You don't know. It's a great thing about social media. It's also sometimes a bad thing, but it's a great thing.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for being on today, Jen. I appreciate you so much and all the things that you're doing in the community to, you know, just try to spread that joy. We all know you love joy.
And I appreciate you, D, reaching out to me. It really
glad to do it and glad to have you and glad to see your face and talk to you for, you know, an hour or whatever it's been, 45 minutes. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the podcast or if you're on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and share. Tell people about the What's Up Omaha podcast and help us grow. Let's grow together. That's what it's all about. Let's grow together. And we just want to continue to do things to bring the community to the forefront and let people know that there are people out there that still care and, you know, want to live positive, happy lives. That's what it's about. So smile, help someone else smile, laugh, and help someone else laugh all day, every day.
Every day.
Jen.
You are welcome. Thank you.